Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Takeoff. Extremely excited to be with you today. It's currently the 15th of November when I'm recording this. Can't believe we're 5 weeks away, essentially, until Christmas and the end of the year. We're right in the middle of silly season, as they call it. And I'm sure a lot of you in the construction sector we'll have a big push until the end of the year. It's going to be a lot of long nights, and there always seems to be stuff going on this time of year. And actually, we are hosting an event tomorrow. If you are in Brisbane, we're hosting a pre-construction, quantity surveying, and commercial networking event. So listeners of The Takeoff will hopefully want to come along. We've hosted a number of these events before, and they've been incredibly successful. For me, success in these events is all about people connecting with each other. As a recruiter, I get my kicks out of connecting people. It's not all, contrary to popular belief, it's not all about just earning fees and stuff like that. But for me, it's actually about building a community and connecting people. We currently have around 82 people sort of locked in to attend. As we know, things come up during the day. Not everyone's going to be able to make it. But if you are listening to this and you would like to come along for a beer, you'd like to come along, share a wine, it's always great crack. There's no keynotes. There's no speeches. Sometimes if I'm feeling brave enough, I'll go up and maybe speak for 90 seconds just to thank everyone for coming along. But apart from that, I call myself the professional icebreaker. So if you want to come along alone, I'll get you a nice cold beer, a nice wine, and basically introduce you to a bunch of people. And it's great, you know, everyone comes together and we can share stories of this crazy year, like how it's now the 15th of November. How the hell did that happen? It's been absolutely nuts. So if you'd like to come along, please feel free to do so. It's free, no tickets required. I'll drop a link to the event in the show notes. Yeah, come along and bring some of your colleagues. It'll be good fun. Today we're going to talk about big money energy, right? So the industry's gone mad for big salaries recently, and my opinion is that if you're conscious about your career, you shouldn't be chasing the money. So we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 reasons on why you shouldn't chase the big dollars in this current market. And as a recruiter, I do get a bird's eye view of the market. So I can see, you know, what every company's doing, what every company's paying, you know, who's moving to where. I'm speaking to people from businesses. They're telling me what's wrong with their current company, why they're not happy. Well, I get a really strong picture of the market being in recruitment. And I believe, you know, if you're someone who wants to have a long-term, sustainable and successful career, you should consider not jumping for the big bucks, okay? And here's my 5 reasons. So number one, and the big thing to remember, the more you earn, the more of an overhead you become, okay? So it's hard to hear that sometimes, you know, as someone in a business to be considered in that sort of transactional, cold and sterile way. But the reality is you are an overhead to a business, okay? And most businesses will say, you know, we're people businesses, I mean, we care about our people, we care about our staff, right? But, you know, everyone's got short memories. All we need to do is, you know, let's go back to 2020 and remember what was happening. There was big businesses out there, you know, tier one contractors laying off 20-30% of their staff, okay? Now, if they were really, really one of these people, one of these businesses that were, you know, we love our people, we do everything to protect them, would they have laid off 30% or 40% or 20% of their staff, right? And as a business owner, I get it. You know, I get you've got to make these tough decisions for the greater good of the business long term. So if you've got to lay off 30% of your staff to save 70% of them, that's a really, really tough call, but I get it, you know. But the reality of it is, the more you earn, so if you're a 150k candidate and you're earning 200k, you're overpriced by 25%. Okay. So in that company looks at you and go, you're an expensive resource. There's going to be a lot of candidates coming on the market. You know, you're a 150k resource. We could probably get someone in because there's the market's changing. We probably get someone in for 130 to do your job. We're saving 70k. And if we were to do that with, 10 staff members at 700,000, 15 staff members, we're up to 1 million. So you got to look at this in a really pointed and figurative way, that you've got to look at it and go, right, where's the market at? Am I overpriced? Because the market's going to change. We aren't going to be in a market where everyone's being paid ridiculous amounts of money forever. That will not happen, right? And it could be 4 years, it could be 5 years, it could be 10 years, it could be 2 years or whatever it might be. But if you're focused on big money right now, you're more than likely, my opinion, going to have a pretty shocking sense of reality in probably 18 to 24 months. Okay. What we see is, I'm very connected to the UK and Irish market, and those markets are slowing down significantly right now. So what I foresee is a lot of these, 20 something, 30 something guys and girls look to Australia and New Zealand and go, right, let's go out there, let's get a bit of life experience, let's go and see, the world, let's go make a good salary. There's not much work going on in the UK and Ireland right now. So let's crack on. Let's try something different. So we start seeing floods of candidates coming in from the UK, Ireland, Europe, South Africa, wherever. What does that do? The more candidates available on the market, drive salaries down. Okay. So you've got to look at that and plan for that. And the reality of it is that this is a bubble, and individuals will think, oh, well, such and such is getting offered 200, and I'm on 150 or 160, all well and good, but how long will they be on that 200k for? Is it going to be 6 months until they get sacked? Is it going to be 12 months until they get sacked? So you've got to think of this as a business. Think of this, you put yourself in the shoes of the business owner and think of yourself as an overhead and think, what would you do? Because that's the best way to think about it, because those businesses won't get rid of the great candidates and the great employees who are offering great value and are on a fair salary, and they'll look after you, okay? But the ones overpaid, they won't look after you. I'm a big Chelsea fan, so any of you from who follows the Premier League knows that Chelsea get nearly rid of a manager every year, right? So we've had like 19 managers in 20 years, okay? So it makes it quite an eventful and exciting team to support. However, why do they get rid of managers so much, right? My opinion is because they lock these, they lock this recent manager into a 5-year contract. He's been the last 3 or 4 matches, there's been losses, right? Fans start to get angry, right? And then they start to go, well, actually, we've got a 5-year contract and we're paying him 4 million a year, 5 million a year. It's 25 million that we're going to have to put out there. But if we don't get into the Champions League, we're probably losing out on, 10, 20, 30, $100 million worth of revenue. So it all becomes business, right? Every single decision is about business in the current society, okay? Look what's happening with Facebook currently. I think they've laid off like 30% of their workforce, or 11,000 employees or something like that. Every time I look on LinkedIn, currently it's some tech company getting rid of loads of people, And again, why is that? Because salaries equal overheads. So you've got to think about this. And if you're considering to make a move, you shouldn't be considering to make a move purely for salary. That's the wrong way to think about it. Because in 2 years' time, you're unemployed. And then you're not getting hired for 6 months to a year. Okay. And then what happens then? Everyone's got bills to pay. Yes, money and inflation is going up, which is fine, factor that into a salary increase. However, if you're looking 30, 40% increases, you've got to remember that, yeah, you're probably going to end up in a tricky position in a few years' time. Okay, number two, companies will say it's people first, but it never is, okay? So I've kind of went in on that on the first point. I've yet to ever truly recruit for a company that I believe is 100% all about its people. And I've been recruiting in construction for 10 years, UK, Ireland, New Zealand, Australia. I've never, ever, ever found a company that I believe will look after its people. And because the reason for that is because businesses I recruit for aren't charities. They're not not-for-profits. They are businesses that are trying to make money. And that's the reality of it, you know. If businesses aren't making money, then, you know, most of the time, they won't last. So in reality, if you're working for a business, you have to remember that the business isn't thinking about you. The business is thinking about its bottom line. I always think about the tier ones, okay? And in my opinion, tier ones will expose you to, you know, some big projects, great processes, procedures, a lot of red tape, bureaucracy, all of that sort of stuff. However, if you're in a tier one company and the share price of that company starts to fall, you can expect people to be laid off. And that's a fact. That will, if your share price for a tier one is $4 and it drops to $2, what does that mean? It's dropped by 50%. Okay. So what does that mean? How are they going to claw back that 50%? Is most likely cutting back on costs, getting rid of any assets, getting rid of big salary employees or big employees with big salaries. Maybe not big employees, but you know what I mean. So in terms of that, you've just got to factor that in, that if the business isn't doing well, you are probably going to find that people are going to be laid off. And that's just the way that the market is. Tier two companies will, tier two, tier three, will have a little bit more flex. But in general, if they begin to get squeezed too much, it will be much of the same as the tier ones. You know, they, what is that saying everyone talks about? You know, don't let a good crisis go to waste. And in other words, that means in periods of, you know, difficult economic times, recessions, you know, pandemics or whatever it might be, get rid of the deadwood. You know, if you've got an employee there who's passed their probation, who is a bit of, you know, bit lazy, not interested, whatever, they are going to get rid of you because you're not a productive asset. Okay. So companies will say they're people first, but they're not. They're business first. Always, 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 always people first. And if you know a company that isn't business first, I want to know about them. But I guarantee you, without a shadow of a doubt, that they will always, always be business first. Because as much as I even think, oh, I look after my employees, I really care about them. I mean, if shit hit the fan and the market completely desolated and I couldn't earn any money and I couldn't look after my wife and hopefully future children and I couldn't pay my mortgage, you know, those are tough decisions that you have to make. No one wants to make them, but this is the reality of business. Okay. So always think about it, put yourself in the owner's shoes and try and make sure that you're offering as much value and you're on a fair price for the role that you're in, and you're not over-leveraging yourself. If you over-leverage, you will be cut, okay? Third point is focus on building a track record, okay? So the better the track record you have within your career, the more likely that you'll be successful. If you start chasing money from, you know, straight out of university or, you know, straight off the tools, then the reality of it is that, yeah, you might earn big money for a while, but you become less attractive in the long term. If you continuously focus on what your job title is, what your salary is, you do not focus on the quality of your track record, right? So, and in reality, construction is about one thing: what projects you've delivered. That's the number one thing in construction. So if you're focused on, you know, salary, 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 and you work on one project, you maybe complete 25, 30% of it, and then you get another job offer, you go on to that, you're in there for 6 months to a year, same thing again, boom, boom, boom. However, you know, that for an employer doesn't become an attractive asset to them or someone who they believe that they can count on long term. The more transactional that you are as an employee and the more you focus on those big salaries, the more risky it becomes for you long term. in this market, we're noticing obviously a bit of a slowdown in some residential, possibly some of that aged care side of things as well. If I was in the market right now as a CA, QS, estimator or project manager, I'd be closely aligning myself to large-scale institutional and government sector work. So that was defence, rail, infrastructure, health, education. I think the Queensland government is projected to invest around $7 billion in health. We obviously know what's going on within sort of the rail sector as well. Defence is always a big thing. Obviously, those big macroeconomic factors, you know, Australia's relationship with China, you know, obviously the US's relationship with China and what's going on in Taiwan and what's going on with the Russia and Ukraine. All of that, it makes, you know, takes impact on the construction sector as much as you wouldn't like to think so. But, you know, slowing down in supply chains, you know, the difficulty in finding, you know, natural resources like oil and gas, all of that drives prices up, drives inflation up, you know, drives the cost of living up, drives the price of materials up. So, you know, if you're working on predominantly private sector work, whether that's retail, industrial, residential, high-rise apartments, all of that, you can expect that will slow down at some point, okay? And obviously, in the Brisbane market where we do a lot of work, you know, there's a lot of key projects coming to a close in 2024. Obviously, Queen's Wharf with Multiplex, that 2024 will obviously be a big year. I'm not too sure how many people are on that project, but you know, you look at subbies, you look at the main contractors, you look at the consultants, the architects. There's probably over 1,000 people associated with that project. And that's coming to an end in 2024. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of highly qualified people coming on the market in that time. So if you're potentially looking for a role, I'd probably be considering doing that in the next sort of 12 to 18 months. Okay. And if I was in the position of making a move, I would be closely aligning myself to those government sector works, because if we do face a recession, or even if it goes back to sort of normal, you know, normal Brisbane, Queensland, my opinion isn't like, doesn't really fly, you know, it's not like a Sydney or Melbourne or a London or something like that, you know. So if you're in that sort of Queensland market, that's what I'd be thinking about. And I would really consider focusing on tenure in a business and projects, what you're working on. And tenure, projects, your relationships with your consultants, with your clients, with your subbies, all of that will in turn, when you're 30, 40, 50, or whatever it might be, you will automatically become, you'll be on a big salary, you know. But if you're thinking about being 27, 28, yeah, you maybe have your first kid or something like that, and you're like, right, I need to go earn a big salary. My opinion, that's probably not the best move, because you need to think about it long term. Again, more you earn, the more of an overhead you become. But if you can focus on projects, tenure, relationships, all of that sort of stuff, by the time you're 40, you'll probably be earning maybe 150K more than what you'll be earning when you were 30. So when you're 30 and you go, right, I'm leaving because I want to get that 180K, or you decide to stay and you go, right, I'm going to take that 140. That person who takes the 140 will be on maybe 250, 300 in 10 years time, right? But see that person who took that job at 180, they're probably still between 180 to 200, right? Because they're jumping around so much, because they've had, the market has impacted them. You know, they've never really built a strong reputation with any business, all of that sort of stuff. That's what matters, right? So got to look at it long term, play the long game. That's what's most important in any career is the long game. And I think about that as my business. You know, I think, go, okay, right, we've done well our first year. Why have we done well? One, I think we're good at what we do. Two, market's good for recruitment, which is big. So, but I'm not thinking about where I'm going to be in 2 years' time. I'm thinking about where I'm going to be in 5, 10, 20 years' time. Because if I'm 20, I'm 31 now, but in 20 years' time, I could have an incredible business if we make all the right long-term sustainable moves now, and that business could be worth a lot of money, it could add a lot of value, it could be one of the most reputable businesses across Australia and New Zealand. I mean, that's amazing. But if I just start thinking about short-term goals, oh, let's hire a lot of people in, you know, blah, 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 and let's try and sell this in 3-4 years' time. The reality of it is, if I hire loads of people, they get bad training, they don't get the time and accurate involvement from senior people such as me that they would need. And again, they just, the less time you spend on people, the worse they become. And we see that in the construction sector now. People are getting hired and then there's hardly any onboarding, and you know, people are pointing the finger at each other and all this sort of stuff, you know. So play the long game. That's all I'm saying. Okay, point number four. The more you move, the less attractive you become, right? So I looked at a CV yesterday. I remember I placed this candidate about 3-4 years ago. They've had, I think, 15 jobs in 12 years, right? And I kind of wondered, like, how the hell did I place them? I had to do some serious serious talking to this client at that time. And I think they were in just a bit of a pickle. Candidate in that role was there for 2 years. Got really, really, really good reviews. Okay, the business didn't want to leave them, or didn't want them to leave. But if you look at that, like 15 jobs in 12 years, who the hell's hiring that person? I mean, if someone applied for me, I am not hiring them. Why? Because I cannot be bothered putting the effort into them and them leaving in a year's time. And that's what every single business is going to think of. So if you're chasing quick term or quick success and a quick buck. And I talk to people like this all the time. You will become one of those people, 12 jobs in or 15 jobs in 12 years. It happens all the time in site management. And it's probably one of the reasons why I never really work site management jobs, is because just the way of it, you know, you're the individual that's working in a site management role can look at another project and do exactly the same thing, and they could be earning 10, 20K more. Most site managers, and I would say 80% of them, are usually project employed. And so what happens is they've got 20 years and they've 15 different companies, you know, and that happens all the time. And the difficulty is that in this market, they could get offered, because they're so hard to find, 250 grand, but really they're 170 grand site manager in any normal market. So again, if they're not absolutely smashing it, the company gets rid of them in 6 months, and then I have to replace them, and then they're brutal to replace, you know. So any role, no matter what you're doing, if you're working in the tech industry, finance industry, legal industry, if you're jumping ship every year, you're not an attractive asset, and it's not something that you want to hear, but it's the truth. If you're a jumper, I mean, you're no good to anyone, and that's the reality of it. Especially during a downturn, there's hardly any chance, I believe, that you're getting a permanent job during a downturn if you're jumping ship every year. The only thing that you can look at is how you can maybe structure your CV and start to really consider yourself as a contractor or a freelancer. And again, what happens there is you're looking for clients, you're trying to get your invoices paid, you know, you're paying GST, you know, you're paying tax, you know, you're having to get yourself set up, you know, if you're doing a property as a, you know, a licensed labor hire, you know, all of these things make a difference. So if you're, I believe a good tenure in a business now is probably somewhere between 3 to 5 years. I mean, that's really good. If you look at a business and you go, I'm 20 years in my career and I've had 4 employers, that's really, really good. If you're the type of person who's jumping ship every year, every 2 years, that's no good. And the market will tell you that when you find it hard to get a job, when the market shifts. Last point, last but not least, this is a bubble that we're going through. This was, without a doubt, this is a bubble, right? So why is this a bubble? My opinion, one, there's this post-COVID positivity, which we've started to really sort of shake off in the last 6 months because of the cost of living, right? But that initial positivity drove around about 2 years, 2.5 years worth of overseas investment and backlog of construction projects in the market, right? So say if you're working as XYZ Construction, you're based in Sydney, you have barely been able to do much for 2 years because of state border closures, international border closures, cost of material, projects being put on delay, right? And then all of a sudden, everything opens up at once. And then all of a sudden, all those projects come back online, plus a whole bunch of projects you tendered for during that time, now back online, plus all this like Chinese, Singaporean, you know, overseas investments come in, and now they want builders to be building. So all of a sudden, you've got 5-6 jobs on when maybe you're used to working maybe 2 or 3, right? And so you're maybe over capacity by 100%. So then you're hiring people like crazy, right? So we've got that. That's one big, big, big reason. And I would say that's probably 70-80% the reason that we are in a bubble. Two, for Queensland-based projects, the 2032 Olympic Games, right? So that's obviously, everyone's looking at that going, well, we've got 10 years of work in front of us, right? So that's obviously a big, big thing. Obviously, during the COVID, the house prices grew massively. So there was that property bubble. Queensland obviously went nuts, New South Wales, Victoria, nearly every state in Australia. In New Zealand, we had growth of like 30-40%. Now that's starting to really drop, you know, like we're nearly back at where we were sort of 4 years ago. Then there was obviously a crypto bubble. Everyone's getting paid for doing no work. So everyone's getting loads of money coming through. So everyone's got money to invest. Everyone's buying stocks. Everyone's buying crypto. You know, we had Bitcoin was up near around 60,000. Now what? It's now down around 17,000. We just seen what's been happening with the FTX crypto platform. It's lost $15 billion within a week, right? So it's now filed for bankruptcy. Can you imagine? You had 100 grand worth of crypto invested in that. So we're, you know, 800,000 investors are now, you know, empty-handed. So then there's that crypto bubble. And so right now you've got like one bubble, two bubble, three bubble, four bubble, five bubbles, right? Then what we're seeing, tech bubbles popping, crypto bubble is popping, right? What's next? Probably property with interest rate hikes. I would say that's, you know, March to July next year, we're going to see a bit of a bloodbath in that side of things, right? So where can you start to look at, you know, long-term sustainability? And that's the reason why I think that if you are keen on building a conscious career or building a career that's got future growth, where you can be an attractive employee, you know, where you can in 10, 15 years be on big, big salaries, 300,000-500,000 a year, you know, you're in those sectors, social infrastructure, which is defense, health, education, tertiary education. And then you're also in those infrastructure sectors, rail, roading, you know. And those are always going to be what federal and state governments invest in. They aren't investing in private sector. They're only investing in the government sector works. Okay. So that's what I'd be focusing on in order to protect yourself from this bubble. Don't over leverage yourself. Don't go in asking for 50K more than what you should be on. Try and get yourself aligned to those sort of government sector works. Add value every day, build good relationships every day. That's what matters most. Right now, I fear for the contract administrators out there who are earning north of 180K. If you're a CA right now and you're earning north of 180K, my genuine gut feeling is that you'll probably be made redundant in the next 18 months. And that's not what you want to hear, but that's the reality of it. Especially if you're working in retail, industrial, residential, any of those other private sector projects. Now, this is just my opinion. I get a good feeling for the market. I see what's happening across Australia. I see what's happening across New Zealand. I see what's happening in the UK. Last week, first time ever, and I mean ever, and I shy away from this sort of stuff, but I had a candidate from Dublin take a job in Brisbane and get sponsored, right? Now, if we start to see loads of those guys from the UK and Ireland start to make a move out to Australia or New Zealand, your salary will start to go down. So really think about this for the long term. Don't think about this short term, because you'll get short term results, long term pain. But if you think about the long term and you can live a good, happy life of what the money that you're on, don't over leverage yourself because you don't want to be out of work. So hopefully this has been useful, and this has given you my insight to the market. This has maybe allowed you to understand where, you know, some of the things that you need to consider when you're making your next move. But you've got to be conscious. You've got to think about this long term. The best CVs in the world that I see are guys with 7 years, 8 years, you know, work for three companies in their life. Those guys are an absolute dream to work with. They get the big salaries. They get the benefits that they need because they're reliable. They are great at what they do. They've got great relationships and businesses. They've got great references. All of those things matter. Okay. So listen, guys, if you enjoyed this, appreciate it if you can give it a review or a bit of a thumbs up. I do these every week just to try and help people, to give an insight into the market. If you're not a review person, send it to one of your mates. Try and get as many listeners as possible. If you're in Brisbane tomorrow night, which will be Wednesday, so if you're listening to this, it will be this evening. From 5 p.m. onwards, we'll have a free bar. We'll be having great crack. We'll be connecting with each other. We'll be estimators, contract administrators, quantity surveyors, cost people, project advisory people, design managers, architects. We're all going to be there. We've got 80 people locked in. If you're interested, come along, bring a friend. So this has been another episode of The Takeoff, and I hope you've enjoyed it. Cheers. See you next time.